So we're in Mark chapter 1. You're welcome to turn there in your Bibles. This sounds a little bit loud. I don't know if it is or not. Maybe they want you all awake. This yin's awake. All y'all awake. I don't know which one to use. Mark chapter 1, verses 38 and 39. Again, we are plowing through Mark at a fast pace. The other night, someone asked a question from Mark chapter 4. I said, that's years away. We don't deal with that. Anyway, Mark chapter 1, 38 and 39. And here's what it says. Jesus is speaking. Jesus had healed people. He was at Peter's mother-in-law house, and they brought all kinds of people after sundown because it was the Sabbath. You weren't allowed to travel on Sabbath. So all these people came that needed healed, and Jesus healed them and drove out demons. And then Jesus says this, let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so we can preach there also. That is why I've come. Jesus came to announce the good news, his good news. The forgiveness of sins. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to announce the good news that God was reaching out to all peoples through Jesus himself. And so here's Luke 4:18, and this is an example of Jesus' ministry. So Mark tells us Jesus went everywhere and went from synagogue to synagogue. So I'm just going to Luke to look at one example of it. Because in Luke, the beginning of Luke chapter 4, it says, and he went to Nazareth. Now, I've been in Israel a couple different times. Nazareth is a pretty cool place. It's a city up on the top of a crest, and then there's this big drop-off straight down. And if you read this story, what they did, Jesus said these things, and then they took Jesus out to stone him. And Jews were pragmatic, just like we are today. They didn't want to throw rocks on him. They wanted to throw him off the cliff and let him die that way. You know, they're very pragmatic. Why throw stones if you can just throw someone off a cliff? That's where Nazareth is. So here's an example of what Jesus did. He went into their synagogue and he said this. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you're here this morning and you don't know about Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's why Jesus came and died on the cross, so that you could know him intimately. And all it's about is, Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't know about you, but before I knew Jesus, I made a horrible God. I made pretty bad decisions because they're all self-centered for me, 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 me. And I just didn't do a good job. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're probably not doing a good job either, and your life is a mess. If your life is a mess and you need a Savior, Jesus died on the cross many, many years ago, so that we could put our trust in him, invite him to our hearts and lives, and give him control. And we're going to talk about that more and more. But that's why Jesus came, to die on the cross, so that we could put our trust in him. Remember, there were two thieves on the cross. One on one side was making fun of him and all that stuff. The other one on the other side said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just remember me. He repented. He repented of being himself, of him being in control. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's no magic in the prayer. It's simply acknowledging and saying, Jesus, man, I blew it. I need you in my life. Please come and be my Lord and my Savior. I'm putting my trust in you rather than in me or other things. That's all it is. And that's what Jesus did. He was going from village to village to village to announce that good news. Now, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. Jesus did these things after his baptism. After his baptism. I'm asking you to consider the following. And you're free to disagree with me. I could be wrong on this because this is called theological speculation. By the way, anytime you see that's blue, that's not green. You see blue in that font and underline, it means there's a blank in your sermon notes if you want to follow along. If I'm so boring that you need to take sermon notes to stay awake, we follow highlights here. Remember highlights, those of you of my age? You go to the doctor's office, you're bored to death, so you got out the highlights book and you filled in the blanks, and then at the end of it, it showed you, it was upside down and backwards, a little thing that gave you all the answers. Well, we're following that same thing. So Jesus, I believe Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. This is theological speculation. Let me explain. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Holy Spirit. See, it's possible to be born again and not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Christian Mission Alliance believes. And so, now Acts 1:8, this is our reality. Our reality. I'm just suggesting that about Jesus, and that's theological speculation. And it really doesn't matter if you believe Jesus was already filled with the Holy Spirit at birth or filled at baptism. Our reality is different. Our reality is different. Acts 1:8 says, this is Jesus talking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus, in talking about his baptism, this baptism, he said, I'm going to baptize you with fire. You're going to be baptized with fire. You're going to be baptized with power, with power. How many of you lack power? You want to do the right thing and just don't do it. You want to lose weight and just don't do it. Now, I'm making a silly example, but the reality is, I don't want to do this and I find myself doing this thing. I want to do the good, but I don't do the good. That means you lack power. You lack the power and the ability to do something. Well, Jesus said they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what the Alliance believes. See, Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about in his own strength, the very things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. The very thing, I'm not going to do that. What does he find out? He did it. This week I had brownies and ice cream more than once. I got bored at Walmart and I bought a raspberry pie. I made a raspberry pie. I ate the whole thing. And then I got vanilla ice cream to put on top of it. Hey, I didn't want to, but you know, hey. Now, I'm talking in human terms, not spiritual terms. But the reality is spiritually, we want to do good things, but we lack the power to do it. Jesus said, wait. He told his disciples, wait. Till the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will have power. That's what the CNMA believes. And here's what it says. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, filled versus baptism, in looking forward to it, the prophet said, you're going to be baptized. When it happened, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's Luke uses those terms synonymously, okay? Synonymous, it means they can switch either one, okay? So here's the difficult truth. Here's the difficult truth, all right? And again, that's underlined. So everything that's underlined, I want you to pay attention to, at least a little bit if possible. The CNMA understands the scriptures to teach that it's possible to be born again and yet not filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be born again and not filled with the Holy Spirit. That distinguishes us from many other faith groups, faith tribes. We believe that. We believe that you can be filled with, you can be born again. You can be a child of God. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, but you want to do the right thing, but you don't do the right thing. The very thing you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. Anyone live there? I did this week with my pie. There's one piece left, and I plan on eating it today. And by the way, I quarter the puppy. I quarter it one quarter at a time. Three are already gone and one down to go. One to go. So here's just some models, okay, to try and explain it. See, Adam and Eve before the fall. Man, before the fall. And by the way, just FYI, work happened before the fall. They were given a garden to tend. Work is a blessing of God. Work is a blessing of God. But can you imagine, I used to plant a garden, and the first time I did, I went and said, I want to plant tomatoes. The guy said, how many? I said, I don't know. He said, do you want a flat? I said, sure, I'll take a flat. 128 tomato plants later, 128 tomato plants later. I can't tell you how many times I came to church that year. The bottom of my pickup truck was covered with tomatoes. I was giving them and giving them and giving them away. And Lynette made salsa that year. Boy, was it good. So anyway, so that's a rabbit trail. Before Adam and Eve chose to play God, everything was beautiful. Everything was perfect. They had a body. They had a soul that was pure and clean, and they had a spirit. And their spirit was how they were able to commune with God. Everything was great. And why I brought up the garden, you know, every year in the former district I was in, I would plant a garden and I'd weed it and all that kind of stuff. And then I'd go for 2 weeks at Mahaffey Camp. And I'd come back from Mahaffey Camp and the weeds were almost taller than the tomato plants. In the Garden of Eden, there were no weeds. They just had huge tomato plants. Wouldn't that be cool? No weeds, no thorns, no thistles, no problems, no disease, no nothing. Work is a blessing. Work is a gift from God. You may think it isn't, but I'm telling you, the scripture teaches that it was good. Everything was good. Everything was beautiful. And they were given work. It was a blessing of God. Then Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to become like God. Forget God. I want to be like God myself. If I eat this fruit, and we don't know what the fruit was. We don't know if it was apple, orange, pear. We have no idea, but it was a fruit. Okay? It was from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they decided, hey, if I there's a shortcut here. Anyone here like shortcuts? Men, be honest. You love shortcuts that usually take longer. At least that was Lynette's opinion, my wife's opinion. So here's the shortcut. Hey, eat this fruit and you'll be like God. That was the lie. That was a lie. They wanted a shortcut. Let's forget God. Give me the fruit so I can be like God. We're still doing that. We're still doing it today. Wanting the shortcut. If you don't believe me, just look at each other, okay? And ask your spouse. So the body begins to die and decay instantly. The moment they ate of the fruit, the soul's corrupted by sin and selfishness. You never have to teach. And I'm going to visit my grandkids this week. I'll be gone Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. I'll be up in Ohio. And Tuesday evening, please pray that no snot gets all over me and that I come back without a cold. I've not been there once that there wasn't green snot, you know, running down my shirt. So I'm taking vitamins now. You know, I'm trying to beef up for this visit. There were no colds back then. The body began to decay and die. No colds, no sickness, no disease. Instantly, the spirit died within them. They were unable to communicate with God. In fact, Adam and Eve ran and hid. They hid from God, is what the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 3. And God goes looking for them. Where are you guys? Where are you guys? And then Adam finally says, I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. That's still happening today. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Adam and Eve after the fall. So here we have the body begins to decay and die. The soul's corrupted by sin. They're unable to commune with God. And then in place of where the spirit was, the old man, rather than the Holy Spirit, humanity is left with the old man. And Romans 1, this is all from Romans, is the Apostle Paul teaching, God gave us over to depraved minds and to all kinds of things. And humanity just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And it's still happening today. Can you believe that you think it can't get any worse? And it gets worse. Amen? Humanity can't get any stupider. And they do. We do. Amen? And I put a we in there. I switch. I'm not the brightest light in the chandelier. I do stupid stuff too. And here's where we are, Adam and Eve after the fall. Another way to look at it, unregenerate, and all I mean by is someone that has not put their trust in Jesus Christ. So the old man, the sinful self, and the flesh is on the throne, and Jesus is out here. You don't want Jesus in your life. He's not in your life. And by the way, the blue dots, all those are your interests and things like that. You know, that's probably deer hunting right there for me. I don't even hunt anymore. I don't have anyone to bring it home to. I do hunt, but I think, who am I going to bring it home to? So that one is probably a little bit more in balance for me. So life is out of balance because we all make really poor gods. But then once we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and all that means is, Father, Please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, Jesus. Please come into my life. That's all it is. Admitting I'm a sinner and I need you. That's all we're talking about. There's no magic to it. There's no magic words. Like if you just say the words, please forgive me, Lord Jesus, that means nothing unless it's from your heart. From the heart. You have to really mean it from the heart. And since it's from the heart, it's so important, it doesn't matter what words you say. The thief on the cross just said, remember me. So here we go. Born again, literally being born again, means that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence. The old man's been crucified with Christ. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says that we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So he's the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So now we're able to commune with God. We're able to pray with God. And we begin hearing his voice. Yet, it is possible to be carnal. And carnal simply means flesh. It is possible to be born again and carnal. Which means Jesus is in your life because you've repented and prayed and Jesus asked Jesus to be in your life. But the old man, and the old man has been crucified. But self is still on the throne. Now, let me illustrate this. I've used this before. I apologize if it's too boring. I had a guy come to me, Chuck DeVore, in one of the churches. I was just getting ready to preach. I just love it when people come to me right before I preach. You can just imagine, with my brain and how scatterbrained it is, he came, oh, I got to tell you, Oh, okay, Chuck, what's up? He said, I went to the bookstore, to buy a bookstore this week, and I pulled in, and there was a car that had a bumper sticker. Some of you know what I'm going to say. The bumper sticker said, God's my co-pilot. And I actually was a member of a group of men that was their motto, God's my co-pilot. But in the car right next to it, it said on a bumper sticker, if God is your co-pilot, change seats. There's a lot of truth to that. See, this is God is your co-pilot. See, you're still making dumb mistakes. You're still getting lost. I did get lost flying one time. That is not fun. I don't recommend it. There's no cloud to pull off on and ask for directions. Lynette was very wise when she never got in an airplane with me when I was flying. So stuck. He's stuck in Romans 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. Because they're born again. Christ is in their life. But this self is still on the throne. Flesh. Carnal just means flesh is still on the throne. So what we are looking for, what we believe that the ultimate goal is to be Holy Spirit filled. So that the Holy Spirit is filling us to overflowing, all of us. And Jesus is on the throne of our heart. Self and flesh have been dethroned. So this literally Christ in me, the hope of glory. When others see me, my prayer this morning is not to have a good message. And you're saying you should have prayed differently, preacher. But my goal is not for a good message. My goal is that I become an invisible lens so that you encounter Jesus this morning. I'm not to be the focal point. He is to be the focal point. Jesus is to be the focal point. Here's just another way of looking at born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you have the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but then we invite him to come in every area of our life. So that the Holy Spirit gets more of us. Communing with God becomes the normal. It's full access. You know, when I pray, and I don't expect you to ever look at me when I'm praying, but usually I sit down because I got a bad knee and I can't stand that long and I want to be able to prance around all over the place. So I don't stand in worship. I sit in worship, okay? There's no right way to worship. But when I do worship, at times I raise my hands. And I raise my hands to say, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. And then I will say, I grant you full access. Anyone ever been arrested? I've never been arrested, but I see it on TV all the time. What do they say? Hands up. And why do you put your hands up? Now, I have been to the airport. They're just all those sniffers. And what am I granting them by doing this? Full access. So I raise my hands like this. I surrender all to you. I'm granting you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, full access into my life. So I hold my hands like this, and then, just symbolic, I'll turn my hands this way. And I'll say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Because in Luke Jesus said, if you being evil. Now, my dad threatened to give me coal a couple times for Christmas, but that never happened. You guys ever get those threats? And yeah, I was told how that when they were kids, they got pencils and oranges. I believe it, but this is the 20th century here. So I go from this to this, because Jesus himself said, if you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask? And so I ask, this morning I've asked, please, Holy Spirit, come. So I go from this, full surrender, full access, all light, no darkness in me, and now come, Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. I welcome you here. Father, Jesus said, if you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit, the best gift of all? The best gift of all, the best gift I've ever received was the Holy Spirit. The second best gift was my soulmate, Lynette. First gift was the Holy Spirit. Second best gift was Lynette, my precious wife, who's with the Lord right now. She's my soulmate for 34 years, and we dated 8, so I had 42 years of wonderfulness. Best gift, the Holy Spirit. Second best, Lynette. Third best, kids. Fourth best, in-laws. Ben, you're included, okay? You're included in that, okay, Ben? My son-in-law's here. I'm going to stop. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. See, when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, but there's beyond that. The Alliance believes there's beyond that. Full surrender, full access, so that the Holy Spirit gets more of us. And then communing with God, talking with God just becomes constant all the time. And then when people see us, they see Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They start saying, what's different about you? I'm telling you, witnessing becomes so much easier because people are seeing Jesus in you and they're drawn to Jesus. Someone was paying me a compliment and actually deeply hurt me. They said, you know, I was attracted to your church. I said, what attracted you? And they told me my smile. Now, they're being very kind. But, oh, my goodness, that was like stabbing me in the heart. I was hoping, well, it's the presence of the Lord is in that place. That's what I was really hoping to hear. But I heard, it's your smile. Oh, my. Are we in deep weeds or what? So, let's go on. Once filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus began proclaiming the good news. Okay, that's a theological assumption that I'm making. I'm telling you, I'm making it. I could be wrong. But I believe that once Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he began proclaiming the good news. I know it's a fact that when the disciples, when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, then they did announce the good news. It's speculation for Jesus, because Jesus said, instructed, wait till you're baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait, don't go out and try on your own. Don't go out and try on your own. Don't go out and try on your own. Wait for it. And they waited in wherever they were in the upper room. And then the day of Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit came. And then they were empowered. Then they would witness in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Key question, does your life look most like the apostles before or after Pentecost? So if I followed you around this week, would your life look more like the apostles and disciples before Pentecost or after? Now, I was with someone the other day. It cracked me up. They said, hey, I'm buying peppermint socks. I don't know how to look. I'm buying peppermint socks. I said, what do you mean? He said, I put my foot in my mouth so many times, I need to buy peppermint socks. I'm like, can you order two of them? Extra large for me, because I got a big foot. That's Peter before Pentecost. The boy was constantly sticking his foot in his mouth. One moment he's saying, you truly are the Christ, and the Lord is blessing him, and yes. And then the next minute, no, you're not going to be crucified. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That was Peter. Peter was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. I will defend you. I'll die with you, Jesus. And then three times he denied Jesus. So this question, my question is, does our life look more like the disciples before Pentecost or after Pentecost? That's one of your questions for later today. And then Acts 1:8, we've already talked about it, but you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. I'm switching gears again. I'm changing gears again. Hang with me. You're changing gears again. So many times I had people say that, you know, the Eastern religions are so special. Christianity is a Western religion. Folks, Christianity is an Eastern religion. Where did it begin? Where was its birthplace? Jerusalem, aka the East, the Middle East. Technically, we are a part of the ends of the earth. The gospel has come to us, and we've prayed to receive it. We are the ends of the earth. But we use Acts 1:8 as a model. And in the model, it says, you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so I'm just going to run through these a little bit. So who is our Jerusalem? So we're using it as a model. Who is our Jerusalem? Which means, and there's a blank in your notes there afterward, who are the people that are close to you? Who's your family, your friends, your acquaintances? Who are the people that you already know? Your Jerusalem, your hometown. Who is that? And by the way, in a couple minutes, we're going to have silent prayer and we're going to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal to you a specific person or persons in your Jerusalem that you begin praying for. I promise you, they're already there. They're there. They are there. You don't have to go to Thailand. I'm telling you, there's people in your life already. At the bank, I take candy about once a month to people that are in my Jerusalem. They think I'm a candy man, but I'm sneaking into their life. I'm just worming my way with opportunity to be a witness to them. I'll use almost anything. Candy works well. Dad used to say, you catch more flies with honey. Look at that. There's even a bug wanting to hear the gospel. Are you wanting to hear the gospel? There was. You killed it, man. So who is in your Jerusalem? Who's already in your life? I'm telling you, just ask the Holy Spirit. He's going to reveal people that are already in your life. They're already there. This week I went to the people that take care of my furnace. You know, yearly maintenance contract, $276.75, I don't know how much. I'm like, do I get the same guy each time? Now, am I buying rights to tease him? The lady said, you bet. Talk about shooting fish in a barrel. He comes to my house. He already knows I'm a preacher. He said he's an agnostic atheist, which is just a bunch of hooey. You got to know about a God to be an atheist. Amen? I pray for him every day. I have 7 stop signs on the way here. He's one of the people I pray for every day. I believe that he's going to be coming to my house one of these days. And one of these days, he's going to say, man, my life is such a mess. Can you help me? I thought you were an atheist. I thought you were an agnostic. I'll tease him a little bit. Then I'll share with him what I know about Jesus. He's in my Jerusalem. It's not an accident that he's the guy that comes and works on my furnace. And am I willing to pay $275 a year for him to come? Yes. That's one of the only reasons I pay for it. So that he'll come. My neighbors, I heard that a couple weeks ago they attended another church in town. Yes! How cool! I've been praying for that. How cool! They don't have to come here. There's lots of good churches in this town. A couple hundred kids heard the gospel this week at a funeral. Amen, praise the Lord. They don't have to come here. They're welcome here, but they don't have to come here. We don't have a corner on truth here. We know the truth. We don't have a corner on it. And I want all people to come to know Jesus, whether they attend here or somewhere else. I just want them to know Jesus. Who is our Judea? Judea was like the surrounding community, the community around Jerusalem, the community around Buchanan. Who's in our Judea? Someone that may not live right next door, but they talk like us, they walk like us. Who might that be that you know? Our Samaria. The Samaritans were close by, but they were from a totally different culture. Do you know some people near you that don't look like you, talk like you, smell like you, whatever? And by the way, they were considered outcasts. Jesus went out of his way to be friendly to people who were marginalized. That's what we're going to look at next week. He went out of his way to talk to people who were marginalized. The Samaritans were quote-unquote half-breeds. Thank goodness there was one prayer that Jews used to pray. Jews, not Jesus. Thank good I wasn't born a dog or a Samaritan. The dogs at my house actually have pretty good, I think. But anyway, that was their prayer. Who are the people in our Samaria, in your Samaria, that may not live, they might live next door to you, but they have a different culture, they have a different language. And they don't know Jesus. Or they're marginalized. You might even feel uncomfortable around them, but that's okay. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. More than ever, the Lord has sent the world to us. Amen? We've got a college in our town that there's all kinds of people from all around the world that attend that. God is sending the nations to us. And then ends of the earth. Are we praying for ends of the earth? The people that don't know Jesus at all, or least reached people like in Thailand. So, in your notes, you've got Jerusalem, couple blanks. Judea, couple blanks. Samaria, couple blanks. And ends of the earth, couple blanks. And we're going to have prayer. Now, we're going to change things just a little bit. We're going to worship after a time of silent prayer. We're going to worship through singing. Then I'm going to introduce table talk questions. Then coffee conversation, then benediction. But let's back up first. We're going to have a time of prayer. And during this time of prayer, I'm just going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to impress upon you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's a great time. All you have to do is, Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, please come. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I need you. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. There's no magic in it. Just pray and ask. Or, if you know the Lord as your Savior, I'm asking you to ask, okay, Lord, who is it in my Jerusalem? Who is in my Judea? Who are the Samaritans that are around me that I don't even know? And who are the people in the ends of the earth? And I'm just going to ask the Lord to impress upon your heart and mind a name, a person. And he can do that however he chooses. You might see an image of someone. You might hear a nudge of the Lord. You might just be impressed upon a person. However he chooses, I'm not sure. He can do anything he wants. But I'm going to have just a time of silent prayer. And again, it's just to be silent and listen. Most of the time we talk when we pray, don't we? Lord's been telling me, I can't fit a word in edgewise. You talk so much, boy. I can't fit a word in edgewise. Are you even listening to me? Because I'm like, pray for, and he's saying, would you please be quiet? I can't fit a word in edgewise. Do you know anyone like that? I was on the phone a couple times this week that someone said, do you really want to know what I know? Are you really wanting to know? Or are you just saying, I couldn't fit a word in edgewise. It was no one here. It was no one here. Stop looking at each other. It was no one here. So I'm just gonna pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. If you don't know Jesus, today's a great morning. It's a perfect morning to just put your trust in Jesus alone. Or if you do know Jesus, who are the people around? Who is your Jerusalem? Who's your Judea? Who's your Samaria? People that are different, but close to you and ends of the earth. And as you hear any nudges from the Lord, and by the way, God's bigger than just this 2 minutes of silent prayer. He, on your way to a restaurant or on your way home today, he might impress upon your mind. Or you're at work and all of a sudden, oh, there's a Jerusalem. Could be any time. It could be any time. We're just taking some time, a tiny bit of time in praying and being quiet before the Lord so that he can reveal. But he can do it any time. If you're really tired, you can take a nap, but don't snore, okay? It's all good. It's all good. So I'm going to just lead us in a short and then have a time of silent prayer. It's all good. Just listen. We're not very good at listening usually, but let's listen. Dear Father in heaven, we quiet our hearts. In fact, I have to ask, help Holy Spirit. Help me to quiet my heart. Holy Spirit, please come. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, please just reveal yourself to them and draw them to yourself in humble repentance. And repentance is simply, I need you. I need you. Turning from me being God and putting my trust in you. Just humble repentance. And for those that do know you, Holy Spirit, please reveal to us people in our lives already, that you want to use us as an instrument in your hands to reveal yourself to them. We just take this tiny bit of time, this time of silence, to just wait in your presence. Please open the eyes and ears of our hearts that we can hear you. In your name, Lord Jesus, I ask, please meet each one of us however you choose.